from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to podcast number 10. 10, 10, 10. It's the lucky number 10. Whatever. It's number 10. And this week, because there's such an NBA theme and there's such a debate about the best player, the best team, the greatest of all time, all this. And I usually won't compliment ESPN, but I'll do that now, leading into Billy Cunningham, who was the last 76ers coach to win a championship and the only 76ers player who was also a coach to win a championship, won the championship with the 76ers in 66-67, and was the coach in the 82-83 season when they beat the Lakers. But I won't normally compliment ESPN because I think their programming has turned into complete garbage. Not complete, almost complete garbage. It's bad. It's not even interesting anymore what they do. But the one thing that they do really well, is produce those documentaries for the 30 for 30. And this is the time, and it was not my thought when I did it, but and it's easy to watch it if you haven't watched it when they originally showed the 30 for 30s. It's billed as the Celtics-Lakers rivalries. The Sixers are mixed in there, but what it does is it shows people what the NBA was then, and I'm going to talk more about it after you hear from Billy Cunningham. But I don't want to take you back to players you don't know. But if you're an NBA fan, and if you're a Sixers fan, I guess you got to be an NBA fan. And if you talk about the NBA, I hear a lot of people say, "Oh, the NBA is great." No, it's not. It sucks. The NBA product is broken. It's not competitive anymore. It's not the same game. And I know things evolve and change, but it's not as good a game if you watch for this 30 for 30. And you'll learn something by do that, but you'll learn something from listening to Billy Cunningham, who obviously was a part of things as a player, part of things as a coach, talked about teams, and I'll let you listen to this, and then I'm going to obviously make some of my comments after he's done. So Billy Cunningham, and I do this, and I know there's a lot of players that you haven't seen for the people that may listen to this. There are players you may not even know the names because you might be great NBA fans, but you don't know the history. And I'm not trying to teach you history, just trying to bring the light. And I don't always want to go back in the past where people can't relate to it as much. And that's not my intent. My intent is to to kind of help you understand the way the game was, which Billy does. And he talks about today's game, too. Talks about, makes an interesting comment on what he thinks the Sixers should do with the number three draft pick. So here we go with the last 76ers coach, and maybe the only one for the next long, long 10 to 15 years, being a little sarcastic, it better not take that long, to win a championship. Here's Billy Cunningham.
All right, I'm with the master of the NBA as far as the knowledge, because he spanned the globe and eras. And eras are an important thing, not because you're old, just because you're brilliant as a genius. And that would be Billy Cunningham. The last coach in the NBA to coach a championship here in Philadelphia. Now, I know the Phillies win, but we're talking about the NBA in Philadelphia. All right, Billy, the game is different. How is it different?
It's a much more open game. Three-point shot has evolved into a major part of the game. I think it was game three. And in that game, the Cleveland Cavaliers shot 44 three-point shots and made 12. Which I just wonder, at what point do you say, geez, you know, things aren't going well tonight. Maybe I ought to go to the basket. But the game has changed. There's no middle game, no pull-up jump shots. If you put it on the floor, you go to the basket. And, you know, it's just entertainment. You know, there's some great players playing the game. You know, Curry, Durant, LeBron James, Irvin, you know, these are wonderful players. And Thompson, I think, is an underrated player. And they'd be able to play in any era. It's just that the game has changed. It's entertainment. That's what it is. And by all standards, and what I've seen from after just a five-game series, is that TV ratings were pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm seeing now is that I'm just old, and I would prefer a game that was similar to in the 80s and 90s. I know there's a series coming up with the Lakers and Celtics, a three-part series on ESPN. Well, these players today would be shocked if they ever participated in that. And I'm sure they would adjust, but it was just a more physical, demanding game. There were more offensive sets. There was more of a priority on defense. I just watch players, you know, I'm watching the playoffs, game five, and the tallest player on the court was Durant. But physically, he's a small forward. And Green ends up, who's around 6'6", 6'7", playing the center position. I can't imagine that happening against Abdul-Jabbar or Will Chamberlain or, you know, Bill Walton, etc. But that's what it is. It's entertainment. And I think all sports have opened up, and that's what the fan wants to see. And look at the salaries players are getting. You know, God bless them. Players are going to be making over $40 million a year.
Okay, well, you say it's entertaining. But these playoffs, it's the biggest differential in points since 1946 in the differential of points in a game. How can that be entertaining when the game's over, in many cases, sometimes by halftime, but by the fourth quarter?
That's before George Mikan. Right. By the way, I'm sure no one knows who George Mikan is. What we're referring to. Just Google him, and you'll see how many championships he won with the Lakers.
Well, I see now, it comes down to the millennials, all this millennial stuff. It's basketball is a game. It's like, I mean, I'm sure you said it, and maybe said it in a different way. Larry Brown said, you got to play the game the right way. Well, really? Not, is it the right way?
Well, you know, our interpretation, Larry and myself, who were former teammates, would be our right way and the right way of today's coaching and the way the game's played. There's something called analytics, which I still don't understand. And I know when I coached, we kept every conceivable stat from fast breaks, turnovers, offensive rebounds, conversion of offensive rebounds, et cetera, et cetera, where players were most effective shooting the basketball. So I'm not sure exactly what the analytics are bringing to the table. And I'm looking for somebody to explain it all to me truthfully, because I'm sure it's got some weight. Now, if you're shooting 50% from the three-point line, it doesn't take a genius to figure out, oh, my God, I got three points instead of 2 points from 50%. 50%, you know, that I picked up a few extra points here. But when I watch my alma mater, University of North Carolina, win the national championship and shoot 4-for-27 from the three-point line and win, I just go, oh my gosh, this is not a very entertaining game that I'm watching. And I just think that it's not as sophisticated. I don't think the player, there's as many demands on the player today in running plays, setting screens, doing little things. The thing is, I know they're playing hard. And, you know, that's a priority in any sport. But my cup of tea is the 80s. I thought that was the greatest generation of professional basketball.
You know what's amazing? Because it's about young people. And they don't understand what you're talking about. But we've both seen what the game was. And isn't it fun to watch pass, 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 basket, rather than pull up 5 seconds when you get to the three-point line in the 24-7 and take a shot?
Yeah, it used to be a priority to swing the ball from one side of the court to the other to make the defensive move and then create some openings and set good screens and do certain things on the court and execute your offense as well as your defense. But it's just a different mentality. And it appears to me that as long as you have a team like Golden State, they're going to be very difficult to beat because it just,
in today's NBA,
that's the way you have to play. I don't know if, like, for example, the Philadelphia 76ers have an exceptional talent in Embiid. It's a shame he gets hurt so often, but he's got a chance to be special. And I don't know what his use is in the NBA, maybe blocking some shots, but he would prefer shooting a three-point shot instead of realizing, you know what, I have a huge advantage if I'm closer to the basket. At least this is my thinking. And, you know, if you double-team me, I can throw it out to somebody for an open three. But that's where the game has changed, right or wrong. That's what it's going to be. And until a team decides to play a more system, not to stop running. I mean, look at the Lakers, right. Showtime with Magic Johnson. I mean, my goodness gracious. And then people will say to me, the other thing is, well, the players are more athletic. No, 100% wrong. I had two forwards when I was fortunate to coach named Bobby Jones and Julius Erving. There's not two forwards except for LeBron James is maybe the only forward in the game that was as fast or faster than either one of them.
So you're saying today's players aren't really as or more athletic than the players from the 80s and 90s?
No, I don't think that's true. I think that you have more teams, you have more players. The product, no question, is watered down to some degree. And it's just a different mentality. You know, I can't imagine Larry Bird or Magic Johnson saying, you know what, my contract's up, I'm going to Team X because my two buddies are there and we can win a championship. No, their inner strength and their egos were so large and so wonderful that they were going to do it on their own. They were going to bring other people to around them, and then they were going to win the championship for their city and teams. So it's just such a different mentality, and I'm just an old man, and I appreciate some of the great talents that are there, but it's just an entirely different game.
Okay, so you're coaching. I think the three-point shot came in, what, after you won the championship here, or was it here at that point?
The three-point shot was here. I'll tell you who's turning over in his grave is Red Auerbach.
Oh, my God.
Red Auerbach.
And people don't even know who Red Auerbach is. They're so they don't even know history. He only won, what, 10, 11 championships in Boston?
Well, 1 year, he won 11 out of 13 years. Okay. 10 championships because Russell won, became the coach. Okay. But he hated the three-point shot, number one. But it's just lost my train of thought. But
Well, that's all right. Well, my point is, if you're coaching and there's a three,
and you want to see the team, and the easier basket is a layup.
Right.
Okay. So you see your guy come down, and he's open at the three-point line, and he takes it. Knowing how you used to yell and scream at the guys, would you go ballistic on that guy?
I probably would be sitting next to me very quickly. And the three-point shot was used when you were down in the last minute or two. I would bet if you go back to that part of time, there were maybe two or maybe three three-point shots taken in a whole game, and they were usually with the team that was down that did that. You know, I can give you statistics. You know, I know everyone loves the analytics. I remember I had...
Yet we don't understand them.
Yeah, but you'd understand this one. When in 1979-80, playing the Lakers for the World Championship, every time Kareem Abdul-Jabbar touched the ball, they scored 73% of the time. It's a great stat, isn't it?
That's a great stat. That is a great stat.
Now what do you do? How do you keep the ball out of his hands? Now, if you double-team him, he passes the ball to somebody for an open shot, or he shoots the ball, or you front him and you try to stop him and someone else is open. So it's a can of worms. So I wonder what Steve Kerr or Lou, what they might do if they had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sitting there with the skyhook and knowing that he's going to score 70% of the time. That's a little better than 66% of the time.
Well, but here's the problem that you would have faced today, and obviously that's why you haven't coached again. The players seem to dictate, well, not dictate, that's the wrong word, to run the game. They kind of tell the coach, because it seems like they have so much more power, what they want to do rather than what the coach wants to do. Do you see it that way at times, a lot of times?
That's something that's happened over the years. When you have coaches that are insecure, concerned with their jobs, hoping to get another contract, that in many cases they let players get away with certain things. Now, I'm sure Popovich... you know, it's his way or the highway. I mean, you're going to do it his way. And, you know, Pat Riley, Phil Jackson, et cetera, even with Michael Jordan, I'm sure with Magic Johnson, there was a meeting of the minds on how things would be done because they had the same goals, and that was to win championships. So, you know, that'll always be the case with some teams, some franchises. And then again... those are decisions. If somebody isn't going to work with you for the same common goal for the team, then you have to get rid of them.
Okay, so now the argument now is, and everybody is in the moment, Golden State, are they the greatest team of all time? And we've both seen teams that play the game, well, differently for sure, but better. I don't put them in the top five, although I think they're a terrific team in today's game. How would you rank teams?
It's so hard to rank teams going back, decades. I'm sure, you know, during George Mikan's era, of course, the lane was 8 feet wide. And then Will Chamberlain came along, and rules had to be changed.
And widen the lane.
Widen the lanes because he was too dominant a player. Then you had the Bill Russell era, you know, winning 11 out of 13 championships. Of course, there were 8-9 teams. And people forget, you know, I look at benches and teams have 15 players on the roster. Teams then would have 10. And then the playoffs, they'd pick up one or two players to go along with them. And you were flying coach, $8 per diem. It was a different life. But you know what? We loved every minute of it. And we probably played around 15 exhibition games. And I look back, the year we did win the championship in 76, 77, the first six players on the team missed a total of one game. Okay. Now, what does that mean? Well, we played home games in Syracuse, New York City, Philadelphia, Miami, and Pittsburgh. So we probably played around 27 home games in Philadelphia, and the other 14 were wherever we might have to go, flying coach or whatever way we did. And by the way, we even had to wash our own uniforms after games.
Oh, my gosh.
So guys would have to go in the showers, take a bar of soap, wash this uniform down, wrap it up in a towel, take it back, hotel, and put it on a heater. And hopefully it was dry the next morning so you could use it the next game. So life has changed. And God bless them. They got facilities, they got trainers, they got chefs, they have a lot of money, and life is good for them.
Okay, so let's try to get down. Okay, you rank them. The team that you won the championship with as the coach, 82-83, beat a Celtics team. I think both of those teams would have beaten Golden State.
Oh, don't forget the Lakers, too.
Well, yeah.
That year, you know, I think all three of those teams win.
Against Golden State.
Yeah, and a couple of things depend on it. First of all, the teams were more physical. The inside game was more of a factor. You're looking at the Celtics. You had Mikhail, Bird, and Parrish. You look at the Lakers. They had Worthy, McAdoo, and Jabbar. The Sixers, we had Moses Malone for the inside. So you had a real inside presence. That is gone today. And I think one of the reasons for it is AAU basketball. And my reason for saying that is it's just up and down. Kids throw the ball out, and they just go up and down the court. And it's just like the Sunny Hill Baker League, and, you know, which I played in many years ago. And if you want to touch the ball and you're a big guy, there's two ways to touch it. Get a defensive rebound or an offensive rebound, or you have to step out on the court because no one's going to throw the ball inside to you. So it forces you to learn how to play perimeter basketball.
So you're talking about all these players, and unfortunately, and this is the unfortunate part of today's fan, the fan under 30 years old, where they don't understand how well and how good those players were. And physicality was a part of the game. Larry Bird was unbelievable. Moses was unbelievable. Doc was unbelievable. But they don't understand that. I mean, how much better? Magic, Kareem, you just go. Even James Worthy was probably better than most of the players now. How do you explain that
to
these people?
Look at the old Pistons. Well, they would have loved. They need to go watch some tapes of the old Piston teams with Laimbeer and Mahorn. And just go, oh my goodness, what would happen to LeBron if he drove to the basket or
he'd be
Durant
on his rear end?
Oh yeah, Curry, they'd be, you know, they'd miss one or two games during the course of the season. And these guys, it was no question what they were trying to do. They were trying to hurt you. I mean, well, Charles Barkley had a fist fight with Laimbeer. Larry Bird did. I mean, we can get on the list of the fist fights that occurred because of the physicality. And, you know, it's just a different era. It's an entirely different game. And, you know, look at baseball. Look at baseball. When we grew up in the pitchers such as Sandy Koufax, they'd pitch the whole game. There were guys, Don Newcomb, who no one knows who I'm talking about, pitched a doubleheader. the games have changed, and everybody played doubleheaders.
You don't know how I get blue in the face because a lot of the Eagles players, obviously today's athletes are younger, so the football guys are big basketball guys. And I try to explain Michael Jordan. They don't even know what I'm talking about. I try to explain Larry Bird might have been the best passing forward in NBA history.
Correct.
They don't understand what I'm talking about. LeBron.
No. LeBron is a phenomenal player. My goodness gracious, what a wonderful career. And, like him, dislike him, the guy comes to play. Some nights he's great, some nights he's all right, but the effort's there, and I love some of the things he's done for young people in Akron. But Larry Bird passing the ball, I mean, the guy, he was a magician, and people should watch that. And you can go back and watch some great commercials with he and Michael Jordan.
Oh, they were great.
With McDonald's throwing the ball off the
Moon.
Which they're doing now, if you recognize where they're throwing. Like, I saw Drew Brees throwing a football from the top of the Superdome into a basket. You know, well, Larry Bird and Jordan were doing that 30 years ago.
Yeah, people don't understand. Michael Jordan not only does, and he is a player, and this is my opinion, maybe yours, that actually did make players better. Where they say, oh, they make players better. Why? Because they score points. And I don't understand these players don't involve the other players as much, it seems.
Magic was Larry Bird. I mean, these guys were...
Oscar Robertson. Before I didn't really see
Michael,
enough of him.
I mean, you know, the thing that people forget about Michael and Pippen, those two guys were two of the greatest defensive players. Forget about their offensive abilities, but they would go just shut people down. I mean, it was quite an example. And I said to somebody, I said, I wonder if you took Seth and Curry, who's a great career, he had great finals he had this year, if he was on that team, what his role might be.
The Lakers team?
Or no, on the Bulls team.
Bulls team.
If he was playing with Pippen and Jordan, would he become Kerr? Would he become Paxson? Or would he be able to create his own mark with that basketball team? Because we're talking about some strong personalities, especially Jordan.
Okay, so when we kind of look at the teams, and this is going to be an argument until the NBA season starts again next year, it'll be a debate, not an argument. I don't put Golden State in the top five. I put, obviously, you can pick any one of a number of Celtics teams. You can pick any one of a number of Lakers teams. You actually can pick both the team you played on to win a championship and coached as a better team. You mentioned the Detroit Pistons, who would just, I mean, they'd knock them on the rear ends. They wouldn't get to the basket. LeBron would be taking jump shots all night long because he wouldn't want to go to the basket.
And it would be understandable why he would want to do that, because Mahorn and Lambeer, they knew what their job was. You know, and if they get thrown out of the game, that's all right. We'll be back the next game. We're going to do the same thing. So, plus they had John Sally and Dennis Rodman. Now, come on.
Yeah.
By the way, Dennis Rodman is representing our country right now in North Korea. So I feel very safe and secure knowing that's occurring, you know, at this time. Not to get into politics, but, you know, there's so many great teams. I find it's unfair to even pick one team or one player being the best.
But the way the game's played, wouldn't it be hard to put Golden State above number five, this year's Golden State team?
I don't know. I'm
going to give you a truth here.
It was the thing about, you know, we just mentioned the Detroit Pistons. They had more players. If you looked at that, they had Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, and Vinnie Johnson. Okay, that's their three guards. Three outstanding guards. Then you had Lambeer, Mahorn, Rodman, John Sally, and I'm forgetting Mark Aguirre, etc.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the depth and the quality of the team, we're just going to Detroit, who we weren't talking about. If you go to the Lakers, just look at what they had. Their starting five was Jabbar, Worthy. They had Rambis for a while. Then they had Byron Scott, Norm Nixon, Magic Johnson, Michael Cooper, McAdoo, just on and on. I mean, it was...
they were deeper.
Deeper, and just phenomenal teams.
Okay,
phenomenal teams.
So we now go to the argument of the greatest of all time. And I look at... Well, you played with Wilt.
Right.
Okay. So I'll put Wilt number one, but Wilt and Michael Jordan are both 1 or 1A.
For their eras, they were just phenomenal. I mean, all you need to do is pick up a record book and you look at Wilt and you go, oh my goodness. And then you look at Michael Jordan and what he was able to achieve with 6 championships, and he even took a break and went and played baseball for a little bit.
Yeah, right.
And came back and won. I was at the game he first came back to play in Madison Square Garden, and his number was number 45.
Five, right.
And I stayed. He scored over 50 that night in the Garden.
After taking off for a couple of years.
And when I tell you, that place was so electric. A friend of mine, I hate to say it, was a scalper. And a guy paid him $10,000, which is nothing today, for somebody flying from London in for this game. He had to get a ticket and paid 10 grand. I know They say somebody paid for two tickets, $133,000. And I don't believe that at all.
Yeah.
If they did pay that, they should be thrown in jail.
Right.
You know, for paying that kind of ridiculous
with all
amount
the things
for
you
basketball.
Can help.
Yeah, all the people they could help.
Okay, so they're clearly in the top five. Michael Jordan, Wilt, whatever way. Okay, who else would you put in your top five?
Players?
Yeah, players.
Oscar, Jerry West. You know, people forget West, one series they lost to the Celtics, he averaged over 40 points a game. 40 points a game. You know, we also tend to forget Elgin Baylor, you know, yeah. who was a phenomenal, you know.
You didn't even mention Bird yet, and you're still at five or six.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, you know, besides Julius Erving carried the NBA for like 4 years until those guys, starting in 76, I think it was, when there was the merger with the two teams. The only person that guaranteed a sellout in the NBA was Julius Erving. Jabbar. Russell.
Kobe has to be in that mix, too.
Of course he does. Kobe Bryant, phenomenal. Talk about a great competitor. Shaquille O'Neal, whatever you say. I mean, hey, Charles Barkley was a phenomenal player. We can go down a list.
Charles actually ranked him no higher than seven. And I would agree with that.
That's our boy, huh?
Yeah.
God bless him.
And he said it on national TV, whether LeBron likes it or not.
That's Charles. That's the beauty of Charles.
But don't you think he's accurate with that? These names?
I don't think it's fair for me to... It's like saying, who's better? Who's the best player? Chamberlain or Jordan or Russell? It depends how you look at it. Russell won 11 out of 13 championships. Chamberlain owns the record books. Michael Jordan did things that no one on the face of the earth had ever done before. As complete a basketball player as you'll ever see. So we can go on. We're not even talking about Bird. Magic Johnson. I mean, 6'9 point guard. I mean, try to coach against that. I mean, that was... The guy should be a power forward. We didn't even have a power forward as big as him.
Okay, so that takes me to the Sixers. 6'9 point guard. So everybody, including Brett Brown, thinks that Ben Simmons is a point guard.
No.
I don't see it.
I can see him being similar to LeBron James. LeBron James is a forward point. Playing with two guards. J.R. and Irvin...
Kyrie Irving.
You know, they're on the court, too. He's handling the ball. I can see a scenario similar to that. But he's not going to go out there and be pressuring the ball and coming off pick and rolls and doing those type of things. That would be unfair to him, and I think it would take away from his talent. Again, that's me. I mean...
You're a basketball guy.
Yeah, but I Coach
You're not
Brown,
the only one that says that.
Coach Brown is... Yeah, a great guy. He knows what he wants to do. He knows the player. And we'll just, time will tell if he can incorporate him to be. I can't imagine him running after Curry or Thompson or.
Oh, he's going to switch it up. He's going to have, which is not the easiest thing in the world to do.
So I don't see that'll be a negative. Or, is he going to play the kid Isaiah Thomas from Boston? I mean, those are tough matchups at the other end. I can see him playing a small forward defensively.
So you go into the draft. Point guard is essential, it seems to me, in the NBA for most teams to win. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yes, you need somebody to take that position. Now, I understand the coach in regards to if you said to me that I'm going to take Simmons and he's going to be my point forward, and I'm going to find two shooting guards to surround him with, and I'm going to let him bring the ball up the court and initiate the offense. I can picture that. I can picture that. But he's not going to be able to play defensively at the other end. With Philadelphia, we have no idea what the Philadelphia 76ers are. I mean, I have no idea. I know, as I said, they have a great center. We don't know if he'll play more than 30 games.
Right.
But, you know, God willing, that he has a long, prosperous career. Simmons, we haven't even seen on the court yet. Okafor, you know, from Duke, I mean, he's got a bad knee. So we're talking about their three top players.
Too.
Yeah, but the three players that they've drafted the last 3 years, we have no idea about. We can speculate all we want to speculate, but until they're on the court and produce, that's when we'll find out.
Okay, so if you were the general manager of the Sixers, and we're just, it's just us talking. The third pick in the draft, is it a point guard? Is it a forward? Is it a shooting guard? What is it?
I traded. again.
And what would you trade it for?
Oh, I would trade it for a guard. You know, the player that I love, and I don't know what happens with Golden State. Again, we're just shooting the breeze here. I would love to see them go after Thompson from Golden State. I think he's 26 years old. He's got five wonderful, great years. Comes in with great pedigree. Understands what it takes to win. Could really have a big impact on the young players on this ball club. And just establish a wonderful atmosphere. To have four potential young players, no one over 21 years old, your key players, I don't know who's leading. I coached for 8 years, and I know there's been guys that coach a lot more than I have. But I can't imagine using more than two rookies on the court that you can develop at the same time. It's very hard. The understanding of the game, the lifestyle, there's so much to incorporate. And who are they looking to? And it's got to be somebody that is going to be a starter and a factor on the ball club.
So with the way the players are, it's one and done in college. They really, you don't know where their development is. So you would trade that pick for a guy that you know
that would be my dream.
Klay Thompson, who you think could fit in well with this team.
That would be my dream. Again, I don't know. All I can say about Klay Thompson, I've watched him play. I just love his work ethic, the way he has sacrificed for this team, for the team to win. And he brings such, he reminds me a little bit, because he averaged, actually, I think, point-wise, more this year than he did last year. But he reminds me a little bit of Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade, here comes LeBron. LeBron comes into the situation. Dwayne Wade has won an MVP in the playoffs, won a world championship, and turns the reins over to LeBron James and said, "It can be your team." And he sacrificed for the team to win. And that I just thought that was phenomenal in this day and age to see someone do that. And I think Klay Thompson might be that type of young man because, his dad played. His dad played, experienced championships mm-hmm. with the Lakers, had a great career. And so, again, the chances of him leaving Golden State are probably none.
Okay, so is there anybody in college that has caught your eye? Have you seen enough games to say, all right, this player, and it's really hard. It's only 1 year of most players. Is there anybody that's caught your eye?
Well, one of the problems is I don't know much about them off the court. I don't know them as young men, what their priorities are, trouble. I saw the kid Jackson from Kansas, mm-hmm. awfully talented kid. The kid Fox at Kentucky, he's a blur. It'd be very interesting, and I think he will become a better shooter. I don't have a good enough feeling. I haven't watched the kid at all from Washington, never saw him play. Just watched the kid at UCLA once or twice.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't allow his father to distract from the kid what his talents are, because it looks like he's a nice young man. And he happens to have this guy, and the father's trying to promote him to make ensure the kid a wonderful career financially, et cetera. And he's hurting the kid at the end of the day.
If he was coming into your team and the father was who he was, would you tell the father he can't come to practice?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you saw what happened with the Lakers when the kid worked out with him and went out for dinner. Dad was no place. No place.
So Magic probably told him, stay out of Dodge.
Magic's guys are gonna come on. Magic, he might have that big smile on his face and everything else. And I'm sure the one person he's leaning on a great deal for direction is Pat Riley. And Pat Riley is telling him, hey, you know, hey, you have enough problems getting this kid, like you said, coming 1 year out of college to be a player. You don't need the old man knocking on the coach's door.
Okay, so one less area, and money has changed the game. I don't think it's changed for the better, regardless of the talent of the players. Compare your championship team, the 82-83 team, in a salary to what the teams now, the salary cap for teams has got to be, what, over $200 million a year or $160 million?
I would venture that your top 10 players in the NBA, if they're up for contracts this year, will make more in 1 year than that whole roster had from a financial standpoint. So we're going to see players making $40 million a year.
You mean one player make more than your whole team?
More than the whole team. So that's, I know it's 30 years, 30-something years, but mind-boggling, isn't it? It's you know what? What is it going to be? I guess it tells us, too, how bad TV is, that sports, people want to see live sports because there's nothing else to watch.
That's the whole thing.
You know, what are you going to do?
So, I mean, the sad part is the athletes may be good, but the money has changed. It's not about competitive balance. It's about I have to make more than this guy, it seems like.
I think it's wonderful that they're making the money. The thing I hope is that they understand the responsibility that goes along with the money. We've seen so many situations like Allen Iverson, the kid Walker from Kentucky who went through all his over $100 million.
And blew it all.
Blew it all. We can go down the list. I think, isn't there, within a five-year period of time, I think in professional football, 70% of the players and 60% of basketball players are bankrupt. Bankrupt. You know, that it's going to be hard for these kids to do that. But hopefully they realize there's the responsibility to give back, to help others, that they've been just so fortunate. And I see some doing this, and it doesn't have to be done where everybody knows about it. But hopefully they listen, we're going to have guys that are going to be billionaires that are going to leave the game of basketball. Billionaires.
Okay. You were one of the original owners of the Miami Heat.
Correct.
When they came, you were at the expansion team. Okay, you were one of those owners. What did your group pay for that team? And it was probably less than what a guy's going to make.
I'll give you two facts. Number one, initially, the league was going to charge $25 million for an expansion team. And they decided to change that because there was so much interest to $32 million. And we were so upset that now we have to go find some more money. And the other great thing is, that year, the minimum you could spend on your team was $4.2 million in salary. And we exceeded that by $20,000, $4.220 million. You imagine that guy's tip more than that.
So the reality, there's going to be 15 players within the next 2 years that are going to make more as one player than you paid for the entire Miami Heat franchise.
Thank you. It's a great country.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, there's so many things to deal with. The best players, you can mention so many players that whether Wilt's number one, and he played with Wilt, he knew Wilt, he's very close to Wilt, so obviously that would be his number one, even though he didn't directly say it. But Michael Jordan is right there, one of the best defensive players in the league besides being a great player. Bill Russell, you don't realize how great he was. He had, I think it was 30 points or 40 points and 30 rebounds one game. Something like that in a playoff final. I mean, that's unconscious numbers. We can talk about the players, which we've dealt with before, but it's the teams. We talk about the greatest team of all time. As I said when I spoke to Billy, I don't think Golden State's really in the top five. There were so many different Laker teams that were not good, great. There were Boston Celtics teams that were great, and Larry Bird made them great with the other players that were there. It was amazing, the character. But the physicality of the game has changed. And I didn't even think about the Detroit Pistons. They won the championship a couple of years under Chuck Daly. It was in the late 80s. I think one of those years they did beat the Lakers. Physical, they would. They would absolutely, if LeBron James came down the lane, would kick his ass. I mean, there's no question they would bury him if he thinks he can go right down the lane. But he doesn't want to go to the foul line anyway. It's different. Hopefully you learn something from it. But it is a different game than it is today. I don't think today's game's better because it's easy to just hoist up a three. There's so many guys that can shoot. It's easy to hoist up a three. But fascinating that when he was one of the people in the ownership group that bought the Miami Heat as an expansion team, that he paid $32 million, a little bit over $32 million. And now in the next year, there's going to be players that are going to make over $40 million a year, many of them making over $40 million a year. I don't think the money, I don't begrudge anybody making money, but the money, I think, has hurt the game. The payroll, the money, it's hurt the game. It hurts the fans because the tickets now, and the Sixers have done this, make it so expensive it's ridiculous. And dealing with the Sixers, and we'll probably deal with it a little bit next week, depending on when you listen to this. The draft's coming up in a week when we recorded this. But the Sixers have, and all these second-round picks that the Sixers got are a bunch of nonsense. Because they can't keep them all. They don't have enough roster spots. So you get all these second-round picks and you package them. What are you going to package them for what? What are you going to get for a second-round pick in today's game? And I have been told that the Sixers are trying vigorously. They have five second-round picks. They're trying vigorously to trade not one, but at least two to three of those second-round picks. They are trying vigorously. So hopefully you enjoyed the history lesson. Again, I'm not trying to do things and talk about players that you've never seen or you don't even know some of your name. You may not even know some of the names, and that's sad if they're still in the 80s. But just to kind of explain the difference in the game, and I don't think the three-point line, the way that the coaches use it now, is helping the game, especially when you don't shoot well from the three-point line. And you still have guys hoisted up. So hopefully you enjoyed it. The Howard Eskin podcast available on iTunes. Hopefully you subscribe because then you're notified when the new podcast goes up. So hopefully you enjoyed it. Billy Cunningham is a really good basketball guy. For you, those of you who didn't know, he was one of the original 50 greatest players in the NBA. And I bet you there's a lot of NBA fans out there and Sixers fans that didn't even know that he was one of the original 50 greatest players when they named the first 50 greatest players in NBA history. But just to top this off, and I love LeBron James' comment. He made a comment that he was, it was his, somebody put him down here to play against the dynasty teams. I don't get why he thinks that's the case. But LeBron will be debated for a while. By the way, Michael Jordan 6-0 in finals. LeBron James is now 3-5. Oh, he got to the finals eight times. That's great. He's still 3-5. Great player, but not even close to the top five. But that'll be debated for a long time. But I wanted to talk about the teams this week, and Golden State. We're in the moment. Is not one of the five greatest teams, not the greatest, and not one of the five greatest teams in the last, I'll say, 35, 40 years of NBA history. All right, hopefully you enjoyed it. We'll be back again in about a week with our next podcast. This podcast number 10, episode number 10, Billy Cunningham. Hope you enjoyed it. Available on iTunes, the Howard Eskin Podcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.